The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, Lionel Barrymore stars in an episode of Mayor of the Town from 1942. We'll also hear Carolyn Day, detective, and there's a duo with Don Carlos on the adventures of Ace Williams. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Carolyn Day, detective, and a duel with Don Carlos on the adventures of Ace Williams. Right now, Lionel Barrymore stars in Mayor of the Town from 1942 as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
The makers of Rinso are proud to present The Mayor of the Town, starring Lionel Barrymore.
Good evening. You know, being mayor in a town the size of Springdale isn't exactly the same as being mayor in a bigger town. No. Well, I guess you'd call it a more personal sort of job. Why, I bet I've been let in on just about every individual family problem in Springdale sometime or other. You see, when folks around here go to the polls to elect a public servant, that's just what they mean. Harlow Wilcox here will back me up in that, won't you, Harlow?
Yes, indeed, Mr. Mayor. And by the merest coincidence, that reminds me of another public servant.
Merest coincidence, my foot. Go on ahead, though.
Well, this servant gets let in on a goodly share of family problems, too. The weekly wash, for instance. Yes, it's the new anti-sneeze Rinso, all right. And it knows how to make short work of the toughest wash day problem. In Springdale, for instance, the water is hard as a rock, but Rinso bubbles right up into heaps of rich, creamy suds that will soak your clothes clean as a whistle, often in as little as 10 minutes. Then a few quick finger rubs on the extra soiled places, and your clothes are ready to rinse. I hope you'll try Rinso soon, wherever you live. And now, the mayor of the town.
Mayor, Jimmy Stevens is in the parlor.
Jimmy Stevens?
Mm-hmm.
Is he back from England?
Well, if he isn't, then his twin brother is sitting in there. Come on, see, and see for yourself.
Jimmy, well, I'm glad to see you, son. Come in, come in.
Hello, Mayor.
Had you dinner?
Yes, I had it down at the hotel.
Well, sit down, sit down. I heard most of your broadcasts from England. Oh, they were swell.
I'm going back next week. They're not giving commentators much rest right now. Mayor, there's something I want to ask you.
Huh? What?
Well, I'm in a bit of a jam. You see, I brought a kid back from England with me. Thought Mother could take him, but she's had an attack of appendicitis.
Oh, that's too bad.
I just received word today that I had to go back the first of the week to do a new series of broadcasts from London. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't give me any time to find a home for him. I thought you might be willing to help me out.
Well, in what way, Jimmy?
I want you to take the boy.
Oh, now, Jim, this is no kind of a household to bring a boy into. An old man and an old housekeeper. How old is he?
1,000 years old inside. Actually, about 11. You see, his father and mother were killed. They lived in a small village near Dover. I found them sitting by their bodies, just sitting there, not crying, not saying a word. So I took him back to London, and then when I left London, I brought him home with me.
Did he want to come?
He never said. He never says much of anything. It's like he was dead inside.
Poor little tyke.
Sometimes he cries at night if he thinks no one's around. And he keeps watching the sky. And when the planes go overhead, his eyes look the way they looked the night I found him.
Where is he now?
Down at the hotel.
Well, does he know that you've come to me?
Yes, he took it a little hard at first. You see, every bit of that love that he had for his parents, he's fastened on me. He follows me every place I go, like a little puppy.
Mm.
He seems to be obsessed with the idea that something might happen to me every time I'm out of his sight.
Mm. Well, your leaving must be quite a blow to him.
I've made him a promise that I'd come back. He believes in me, Mayor, and he believes in that promise. But meantime, he needs an anchorage. I know it's a big thing to ask, but...
Well, bring him to me. I don't know what Marilla will say, but bring him to me. Ronnie, this was my room when I was a little boy. Now it's going to be yours.
It's very nice, sir.
Those books are books I used to like to read when I was about your age. And that baseball bat and ball Jimmy sent over. He thought you might learn to play while he was gone.
Jimmy sent it?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it a beauty, sir?
It's a fine bat. I taught Jimmy to hold his first bat when he was smaller than you were.
I'll bet he's a topping player. Did you ever notice his muscles, sir?
Did I notice them? I helped him grow them.
Listen, it's a plane. Turn out the lights, sir. Turn them out quickly.
Oh, now, Ronnie.
Turn them out. Please turn them out, sir. Please turn them out.
All right, Ronnie. Come here by the window.
But, sir, I...
Come here, Ronnie. Do you know what time it is? It's 8:30. And you know how I know? That's the non-stop flight. It always goes over at 8:30. I've never known her to be more than 30 seconds one way or the other out since she's been flying. Now, that's a friendly plane, Ronnie. Every night when it goes over, it says, good evening, Mayor. It's 8:30. Time for the judge to be arriving for his game of checkers.
We used to watch the planes, Mommy and Daddy and I. We used to go up on the hill and wave at them. But one night, the planes came down. The planes came down, and it was the end of the world. It was the end of the world.
Oh, now, child. Come here. Are you too big a boy to sit on my knee?
No, sir.
Well, there we are now. You know, Ronnie, all my life I've wanted a son. Someone to take fishing, to the movies, someone to watch play baseball, and someone to take to circuses, and someone just about your age.
What's a circus?
What's a circus? What's a circus? Why, it's the smell of popcorn and the music of bands. It's elephants and clowns and trapeze artists. It's pink lemonade and a ringmaster with a long black whip. It's cotton candy and peanuts. It's a present that's labeled to all kids in America from P.T. Barnum.
Ladies and gentlemen, knock down the milk bottles and win a Cupid
doll.
Give us 50 cents worth.
Oh, man.
Peanuts and popcorn. Candy popcorn. Peanuts popcorn.
Over here, over here. We'll have a little everything.
Oh, my.
Hot dogs. Ginger and hot dogs. Hot dogs here. Ginger.
Two hot dogs here. And two bottles of sarsaparilla.
Oh, my.
Step right up and ride the Ferris wheel, ladies and gentlemen. Step right up for the tallest. The fastest ride in the world. 25 cents a ticket. Two bits.
Two, please.
Oh, my.
Hey, pink lemonade. Get your fresh pink lemonade here.
Oh,
two,
my.
Two, please.
I wish I had the spanking of both of you.
I don't know why we should be sick, Marilla.
Well, I do. Nobody's stomach in the world could hold the stuff you ate.
Why, Marilla, go away. Please go away.
Open your mouth.
I won't.
Open your mouth.
I won't do it.
I took my castor oil, too.
I hate castor oil.
But it's good for you, sir.
Well, I won't take it.
You aren't very brave, are you, sir?
Huh?
There, you see? Out of the mouths of babes. Open your mouth. There. That's a big man. That's a nice big man.
Marilla, you're a horrible, designing, unpleasant old woman.
I've always been one to do my duty where I saw it. Them that goes to the circus pays the price. Good night, boys.
Ronnie, you know what we're going to do someday?
What, sir?
We're going to take Marilla to the circus. Now, you see, Ronnie, you hold the baseball bat between your hands like this.
Yes, sir.
Got it straight? First you spit on your hands, then you rub dirt on them. Then you grip the bat between your hands. Now you throw the ball for me, and I'll show you how to hit it.
Ready, sir?
Ready?
Boy. Uh-oh.
Come on,
Mayor.
Ronnie.
Oh, Mayor?
This is where we take it on the land.
Mayor. Yes, sir. Isn't the sea beautiful, sir? Isn't the sea beautiful?
Yeah, this is the life, isn't it, son? A taste of salt on your lips and the roll of a deck under your feet, a spanking breeze at your back.
The coast back there, it looks a little like the coast of Dover. The gulls wheel just like that, and the cliffs are straight and tall. My father used to say they were the sentinels of England. Do you know, sir, sometimes I miss England.
Oh, of course you do. Tell me, Ronnie, what do you think about when someone mentions the word England?
Why, I guess I think of Westminster Abbey, the way it looked when my father took me there, and the way I used to ride my bicycle down the hills in Lancashire, where we used to go in the summer. I think of the crowds in Piccadilly and Leicester Square. And I think of my mother and father standing at a gate and me running down a hill to meet them.
Yes, that's what you think of. And I think of casement windows that knew Raleigh and Drake. Cathedrals that have known centuries of English prayers. Houses that have fathered generations of English dreams. For me, England's the tavern where Shakespeare and Ben Jonson used to sit. And it's the flag that Nelson died for, and Rupert Brooke, and the Duke of Kent. And it's the people, too, the people who fight in the memory of all these things, who've dug their fists into the earth and will die but never give up.
Like my father and mother.
Yes, Ronnie, like your father and mother. They taught you all about England. Now you're going to learn about America. You're going to learn about George Washington and Lou Gehrig. And Thomas Edison and James Fenimore Cooper. You're going to have a look at the inside workings of our democracy.
I care not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. It is, sir, the people's government, made for the people, made by the people, and answerable to the people. 4 score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Beautiful up here on the hilltop, isn't it, sir? The stars are so bright.
Ronnie, I heard you crying last night. I went in, but you were asleep. I didn't want to wake you. You hadn't done that for so long now. What was the matter?
I was dreaming about airplanes. They were big, like black birds, and their wings cast a shadow over the earth.
Yeah.
The bullets came down like rain. The bombs split the earth open, and I was running to escape them. And suddenly, when it seemed I must be killed, I saw a man in front of me. And it was Jimmy. And he opened his arms, and I ran toward him. But as I ran, he fell. And when I reached him, he was already dead. And it was the end of the world. But I didn't care. I wanted it to end.
There. Now, it was only a dream.
He's dead. I know he's dead.
No, he isn't dead. He said he'd come back, you remember? He promised.
Promises don't count for much anymore.
Ronnie, I thought you were happy. I thought you liked America and being here with me.
For a while, I forgot about the planes and how quietly dead people lie on the ground. I forgot that all the promises I'd believed in were broken.
Because of a dream?
Because I loved my mother and father, and they're dead. Because I love Jimmy, and he's dead too.
Oh, come now. Let's go down to the house, son. We'll have a game of checkers. Hey, give me a hand. If Jim's all right, if he isn't then would you believe things are all right again? If he isn't dead, would you have faith again?
I might.
Run upstairs and get the checkers, Ronnie. They're in my room.
Yes, sir. I've been waiting for you. Stayed a long time on the hill.
What is it? You're as white as a sheet, Marilla.
There was a raid in London.
Jim?
He's dead. Says so in all the papers.
Oh, Marilla.
Mayor, are you ill? You look like a ghost. Here, sit down.
Shall I call the doctor?
No, I'm all right.
Oh, it's too bad. But don't look like that. It isn't the end of the world.
You're mistaken, Marilla. That's just what it is. It's the end of a world that I've been building.
You know, one of my favorite people in Springdale is Minnie, the mayor's secretary. Well, yesterday I was walking by a grocery store, and out came Minnie, her arms loaded down with packages.
Hello, Harlow.
Hi, Minnie. Going home?
Yes, I am.
Let me carry your packages for you.
Thanks, Harlow.
Well, can this be a box of Rinso?
Aren't you the sly one, though? You know very well it is.
Well, I somehow don't think of you as keeping house in addition to holding down a job.
What do you think I do, live in the park? I'm a very good housekeeper, if I do say so myself.
I'll bet you are. Anybody who's smart enough to use the new anti-sneeze Rinso knows plenty about keeping house all right.
Well, you know, the mayor keeps me hopping, so I haven't got forever in a day to spend on housework. That's one reason I use Rinso.
A short work of jobs like dishwashing, for instance. And as I always tell the folks, those Rinso suds are tough on grease, but mighty easy on your hands.
My budget, too. I'm watching that pretty close these days.
That's right. Costs less than a cent a day to use Rinso for dishwashing.
Well, here we are. Thanks for carrying my packages home,
Harlow. You're welcome, Minnie.
Be seeing you.
Bye. I always did like Minnie. There's a girl who knows what she's talking about. And now for Act Two of The Mayor of the Town.
Ronnie, I brought you some ice cream. It's chocolate.
I'm not hungry, sir. I don't feel very well.
But you haven't eaten anything for 3 days. You can't go on like this.
I'm not hungry.
Son, won't you eat just because I ask you to?
I've got a lump in my throat. Nothing will go past it.
Oh, Ronnie.
We used to play all day in the sun. And sometimes at night we'd play outside until bedtime. There's no place to play anymore.
Well, you can play here as late and as long as you want.
Once I could play at Dover as long as I wanted, but not anymore. Sometimes my mother would come down on the beach with us, and her hair would blow in the wind, and she would laugh. At night, she'd come in to tuck me in, and she'd sing. Mm-hmm. And after a while, I'd go to sleep to the sound of her singing. I never dreamt then. I didn't know about the planes.
Oh, child, child.
I wish I could hear her sing once more. I wouldn't be afraid to go to sleep then.
Ronnie, I'll take the ice cream down. I'll be back to see you again before you go to sleep.
How is he? Is he all right?
Oh, Marilly.
What are you crying about?
Here. Take this dish. I'm going into my wife's room.
Oh, don't go in that empty, cold old room. Come on down to the library.
I've got to talk to Anne. Anne, you'd know what to do if you were here, wouldn't you? You always knew what to do for broken hearts. He won't eat, and he can't sleep. And if he doesn't, he's going to die. Did you ever see a little boy of 11 that wanted to die? But he's older than I am. And then, he's the son of our hearts. Well, he even looks a little like you sometimes. What can I say to him? How can I reach him? He has to sleep. He has to sleep.
Mayor, who's in the room with Ronnie?
Why, no one.
Well, someone is. Come with me and see. I came up to see how he was, and as I came to the door, I heard a woman singing.
A woman singing?
Yes. Then I came to get you.
Open the door, Marilly. Gently.
Oh, thank goodness. Look, he's asleep. Why, there's no one here.
No, no one at all. But he's asleep for the first time in days. Asleep. And Marilly, sometime, when he wakes up, I think he's going to be hungry. You better fix something.
Could I have some more cookies, Miss Marilly?
Good heavens, you've had six. You'll be sick.
Did you have a good night's sleep, son?
Yes, I did. I didn't dream at all. Would you like to hit a few baseballs, sir?
Of course I would.
Oh, look, someone's stopping.
Who on earth is that?
It's Jim. Oh, Jim.
Hello, Ronnie. Hello, Mayor.
Oh, Jim.
Oh, you're getting big, son.
Oh, Jim, this is a surprise. The paper said you were missing in the attack Monday night.
I took off by a bomber Monday night, but it was a highly secret affair. I read about my demise in the papers coming down here. I'm sorry you were worried.
They didn't bomb you?
Oh, there were a few bombs flying around, but they didn't come any closer than my eyebrows. I'm hard to hit. Pretty skinny, you know.
I am, too. But I'm getting fatter.
Ronnie's gained 7 pounds.
Well, I'll take him off your hands now. Mother's a lot better, and she said to bring him up.
Take him off my hands?
I'll never be able to thank you enough for keeping him for me. Ronnie, now we're going to do all those things I promised you. We'll go fishing and horseback riding and swimming.
That would be fine, sir.
Run up and start to get your things ready, son. I'll be up in a few minutes to help you.
Yes, sir.
There's a great change in him, Mayor. I don't know how to thank you.
Oh, well, I didn't do anything. I love that boy. I look at him sometimes, at the young English soul of him, clear and level-headed and full of integrity, and I think there's the best of England.
He's a fine boy.
Yeah. I felt a grave responsibility toward him, but he's one forlorn little boy who's been labeled enemy and marked for slaughter. No wonder he's been terrified. No wonder he wakes up crying in the night and winces when the planes go over. This isn't a pretty world to be 11 years old in. His heart is broken because of an incident at Dover.
And the heart of England bleeds because of a million incidents like it.
Yes, I know. Well, he's been happier here, though. He's gone to school, had a few black eyes and bloody noses, but he's been the better for him. He's learned to run freely in the sunshine again. It's enough to break your heart to know that he had to be taught those things. But he's learning them. He's learned that faith can be answered, and that promises can be kept, and that's what we must teach the children of all races.
Oh, so much is gone. So many of the old landmarks, so many of the old traditions. Sometimes I wonder if ever...
Don't wonder, Jimmy. Don't wonder for a moment. The grass will grow over the scarred countrysides. The buildings will be built again, and these youngsters that we shelter in our homes and in our hearts will go back to wiser countries. Everyone who dies for freedom now dies for them, for theirs is the life, blood, and the future of their race. And ours is the responsibility for making the world a safe place for all children again, and then to teach those children how to live in it. Oh, well, I didn't mean to preach at you. I had a son for a few months. I'll miss him. I shall miss him. Here's your hat and your catcher's mitt and your football.
Gee, remember when you broke the window?
Yes, oh, what am I laughing at? It cost me $15. Here, put those socks in the corner there.
And remember when we got sick at the circus? The circus is here again. I was hoping that...
Here's your shirts.
Oh, sir, couldn't I stay with you? Couldn't I please stay with you?
Stay with me? Stay with me? Why, boy, but why would you like to stay with me? There isn't much in the house for a young boy. An old man and an old woman and an old house.
It's like home now. It's the only home I have. Oh, I love Jim, too. But I'd like to stay here if it could possibly be arranged, sir. I'd work real hard around the yard, and I'd try not to eat too much so I wouldn't be expensive and...
Ronnie, you've just made yourself a sale. What are you crying about?
You're crying, sir.
Nonsense. I've just got hay fever. Come on, let's go find Marilla and Jim. Marilla! Jim! Get on your hats. We're going to the circus. We're going to the circus. Hand me the castor oil.
Oh. Oh.
Marilla, open your mouth.
Oh. Listen. Look, sir. There goes the nonstop right on time. It's 8:30. Time for the judge to be arriving for a game of checkers.
Mayor will be back in half a minute. But first, I do hope you've decided to get a big box of the new anti-sneeze Rinso before your next wash day. Oh, not just on my recommendation, but on the word of the makers of 33 leading washers. For example, the makers of the famous ABC washers. They tell their customers to use Rinso. Now, more than ever, for the washer industry is devoting full time to the war effort, which means no more new ABCs will be made for the duration. But Rinso's short run will be easy on your precious ABC, and you can continue to turn out those glorious Rinso White, Rinso Bright washes week after week. So get Rinso tomorrow, won't you? And now, Mr. Barrymore.
I just wanted to say that whenever you move into a new house, you're mighty pleased when your friends come to visit you. Well, we've moved into a new place on the air tonight, and I can't tell you how much pleasure it gives us to have you join us. As I told you all some time ago, I was delighted when Rinso people discussed the idea of this show with me, delighted to be part of it, for I regard it as being a vital reflection of the American scene. I'm happy, too, and proud to be on the air for Rinso, which enjoys such wide acceptance in any city and town in the United States. And I'll bet Hall of Wilcox thinks I'm trying to steal his job for saying that. Well, anyway, good night, and thank you very much.
Friends, be sure to be with us again next week for another full hour of entertainment with Bob Burns as the Arkansas Traveler and Lionel Barrymore as the mayor of the town. Mr. Barrymore appears on our program through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. The part of Ronnie was played by Billy Roy. Tonight's script is written by Miss Jean Holloway. This is Harlow Wilcox bidding you all a very pleasant good night.
You're listening to The Golden Age of Radio with an episode of Mayor of the Town starring Lionel Barrymore. First broadcast on radio October 7th, 1942. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s when The Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, a duel with Don Carlos on the adventures of Ace Williams. But first, here's Carolyn Day Detective as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Carolyn Day Detective.
Wanted me to give up the detective business and marry him. I refused, and almost immediately wished I hadn't, because a thug walked into my office and tried to kidnap me. But the thug turned out to be Bugsy Brown, an underworld character my father had once tried to reform. Unfortunately, the reform didn't take, but Bugsy liked my father, and for his sake was going to let me go when Bugsy's partner Loop walked in. Bugsy jumped loose, and fur and fist began to fly. And so did some of my favorite furniture.
I got a mistake.
No, you don't. That'll stop him.
Bugsy.
Okay, Bugsy. Now, what's the idea?
Oh, my jaw. Oh. It's broke.
Well, you better start talking or your head'll get broke.
You're wrong, mister. Yours will.
Oh, nice going, Miss Day.
Nice nothing. That was my favorite lamp. Oh, now let me help you up.
Oh, thanks. Oh. Now what'll we do?
You watch Luke. I'll see if I can find something to tie him up with.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute. Where's my gun? Oh. I must have dropped it.
Oh, there it is. Luke's lying on it.
Yeah.
Bugsy, he's coming too. He's reaching for the gun.
Hey, I'm getting out of here.
Bugsy, wait. Oh, dear. Bugsy, where are you?
Here I am, Miss Day. Here, this way, on the steps.
Oh, yes.
Here comes Luke. Hurry, Miss Day.
I am.
Careful on these steps, though.
Yes, Bugsy. Oh, Bugsy, why did you run out? Luke was still groggy when I first noticed him. You could have taken the gun.
Oh, gee, I didn't think. Well, here's the street. Now what?
Oh, where's your car?
Oh, that wouldn't do no good. Luke has the keys.
Then come on, this way.
Yeah, where are you going?
There's an alley alongside the building. We can hide in it.
Oh.
Here it is. Into it, quick.
Yeah.
All right, Bugsy. Right here. Let's stand back in this doorway so if he passes the street, he won't see us.
Okay.
Oh, he's walking on past.
Ooh, that was close.
Yes. Well, come on. We can go out now and go back the other way.
Okay. All right, sister. Freeze.
I didn't know you were right there. I thought you'd gone on.
Too bad. All right. Get moving. You too, Bugsy. We're going to see the boss. When he hears what you've done, he's going to be sore. When he gets sore, you know how he is. Now march.
Been running around, seen many a town, so maybe you'll find I'm the kind of guy to brag. But listen to me and see if you don't agree. No melody rolls like that old steel guitar rag. And when they slide that thing along the strings, it sounds so doggone heavenly. You hear the angels sing when you start your feet. Your heart will beat a rhythm to that old steel guitar rag. You may be kinda choosy about the kinda songs you hear. You may like songs that's bluesy, makes you cry right in your beer. But if you'd like a song that's bound to drive away your cares, make happy your soul with that old steel guitar rag. Running around, seen many a town, so maybe you'll find I'm the kind of guy to brag. But listen to me and see if you don't agree. No melody rolls like that old steel guitar rag. And when they slide that thing along the strings, it sounds so doggone heavenly. You hear the angels sing when you start your feet. Your heart will beat a rhythm to that old steel guitar rag.
The Recorded Adventures of Ace Williams.
Thank you.
Ace Williams and his young American friend Dick Holt went to Valencia to interview the eccentric Spanish politician Don Carlos Domingo. The purpose of the interview was to obtain information concerning the Tunis Terror, an international organization of anarchists. But instead of aiding Ace Williams, Senor Don Carlos Domingo challenged him to a duel. Ace Williams is a dead shot with a newsreel camera, but to use his own words, he can't hit a barn door with a pistol. And now, as the hour of combat draws near, we find Ace and Dick coming downstairs from their room in the Royal Hotel.
Boy, this sure is a swell morning, Ace. This climate makes me hungry.
Well, I've lost my appetite, Dick.
Don't you even want breakfast?
Maybe a waste of money. I'm liable to be a corpse in less than a half hour. Well, if you really want to eat, go on into the dining room. I'm going over here to the clerk's desk.
I'll go with you.
Good morning, Senor Williams. Lovely morning, isn't it, Senor?
Yes, yes.
It is as if the gates of heaven were opened wide.
Well, I hope they stay open a while. It may save me the trouble of knocking.
Knocking on the gates of heaven? Oh, yes. This morning you meet on the field of honor.
Bad news certainly gets around quickly.
Oh, it is in the newspaper, Senor. Look, right here on the front page.
So it is. Say, listen to this, Dick. State Department worried over Don Carlos Domingo's challenge. Local political leader has again embarrassed the Spanish people by challenging a foreign citizen to a duel.
Gee, the editor of that paper must be on our side.
It is the duty of the press to apologize for the madness of our political leader. We citizens of Valencia all feel very sorry for you in your present unfortunate situation.
Go on, read it, Ace.
The latest victim of Don Carlos' uncontrollable temper is Mr. Ace Williams, an English cameraman who came to Valencia on a special assignment.
Boy, you got your name in a paper, Ace.
Yes. Mr. Williams and Senor Don Carlos came to disagree in front of the city hall, whereupon Don Carlos challenged Williams to a duel. Despite our laws prohibiting combats of this type, the local police are making no effort to stop the forthcoming duel.
I can explain that last part, Senor Williams.
Now, what do you mean, about the police?
Yes. You see, they are powerless to interfere because the commander of police is Don Carlos' brother-in-law. Besides, Don Carlos Domingo can shoot better than any man on the police force. Sometimes I think they are afraid of him.
Well, then, Don Carlos is really a good shot with a pistol?
He is one of the best marksmen in all of Spain. But read the rest of the article and you will see for yourself.
Boy, Ace, you're really in for something.
Because of Don Carlos' expertness with firearms, we denounce his challenge as cowardly. The duel is nothing less than premeditated murder.
If you want my opinion, Senor Williams, you should leave Valencia at once.
You mean you want me to run away?
Yes, it is suicide for you to go to the beach. Don Carlos has defeated over a dozen men on the field of honor. You won't have a chance.
Maybe he's right, Ace.
Oh, say, I've got it. Clerk, I left a new camera here at the desk last evening.
Yes, Senor Williams, and a roll of film, too.
Are they handy?
Right here, Senor.
Oh, yes. Well, thanks.
What are you going to do, Ace?
I'll tell you on the way. Come on.
One moment, if you please, Senor Williams.
Well, what is it?
Are you leaving the hotel permanently?
Oh, no, no. We're just going down to the beach.
It is very foolish of you, Senor.
Well, maybe it is, but I wouldn't run away from a dozen like Don Carlos.
Well, then, in that case, Senor, I must request that you pay your hotel bill before you go. You see, the last time one of our guests fought a pistol duel with Don Carlos, he did not...
Didn't come back alive?
Yes, that is it, Senor. And it took us 3 months to locate his widow.
Well...
Before I could collect his...
All right, how much is it?
17 pesetas, Senor.
All right. 10, 15, 16, 17. All right,
thank you, Senor. Thank you.
Is that film box too heavy for you, Dick?
No, I could carry the camera, too.
No, I'll take that. Come on, let's get going.
Out the front door?
Yes.
What are your plans, Ace?
Well, we'll start walking and pick up a cab on the way.
Ace, I want to say something to you.
Well, go right ahead, Dick.
Well, I'm afraid you won't like it.
Well, aren't you and I pals, Dick?
But I want to stay pals, Ace.
Well, then, speak up. We can say anything we want to each other.
Well, it's about this duel. I wouldn't blame you if you backed out of it.
Well, I wouldn't blame myself either, but I'm not going to.
But we've been through so much together, Ace. I'd feel awfully lonesome if anything happened to you.
Oh, let's look on the bright side of it, Dick. I'm a lucky fellow. If I weren't lucky, I wouldn't be alive today.
Well, guess I'm pretty lucky, too. Just for knowing you, Ace.
Oh, say, you see this carriage coming?
With a lady in it?
Yes.
Why, that's the same one that was parked across the street from the hotel. From out the door.
Yeah, she seems to be following us, Dick. Say, let's stop right here and find out.
Okay. You're right, Ace. She's telling the driver to stop.
Yeah.
She's getting out, too.
Here, hold this camera, Dick, so I can tip my hat in style.
You are Senor Ace Williams?
At your service, Senorita.
I wish to offer my advice concerning your duel with Don Carlos Domingo.
Well, if you're going to tell me to leave town, you're wasting your time.
It is not that, senor.
Yeah, Ace isn't afraid of Don Carlos.
Your courage is apparent, Senor Williams. But for your own good, I beg you to choose the pistol marked with a black dot.
A black dot?
Si, senor. The other weapon is loaded with a blank. Good morning, senor.
What?
What did she mean, Ace?
You've got me, Dick. Something about a black dot and blanks. Might be one of Don Carlos' tricks. Well, give me the camera.
Oh, here. Her carriage is going toward the beach. Do you think that she meant...
Here comes a taxi. An empty one, too. Taxi! Taxi!
Oh, he heard you, Ace.
All right. Jump in, Dick. I'll hand you the boxes.
I got them, Ace.
Where to, senor?
Valencia Beach, driver. Make it snappy.
Yes, sir.
If that Spanish woman told the truth...
Forget about her, Dick. Now, listen to me. You've often told me you wanted to be a newsreel man.
Yes, Ace, I want to be one like you.
Well, today is your chance. This new midget camera is easy to operate. Now, you see this dial here?
Uh-huh, that's for the focus.
That's right. Now, the number of feet are marked right on it. You turn the reel with this crank handle.
Uh-huh.
And when you're ready to shoot, just open the shutter and grind away.
Uh-huh, I think I can do it all right,
Ace. Oh, good. All right. Now, when we arrive at the beach, you set the camera up in the taxicab. Focus the lens out the side window. You're going to photograph my duel with Don Carlos.
Huh? You mean I have to stay in the cab while you go out to get shot at?
If Don Carlos knew you were going to take pictures of the duel, he'd have you arrested. You'll have to do it from inside the cab.
Oh, but Ace, I want to get out with you.
Dick, a cameraman never questions orders. He follows them. I know it's a tough assignment, but you must carry it out like an old-timer.
You're the boss, Ace. I'll do anything you say. Boy, I bet you I'm the youngest newsreel man in the world.
You sure are, Dick. And not only that, you'll be the first one to take a moving picture of a real duel.
It'll be the greatest newsreel in history. But Ace, what if something happens to you?
Well, it'll make the picture even greater.
But I don't want to...
No, no time to worry about that now. Well, here we are at the beach. Right over there with that group of men, driver.
Si, senor.
There's Don Carlos. He has a sword in his hand.
Oh, yes, he's fencing around with it, too.
Big idea, I wonder.
Sure, I don't know, Dick.
Maybe forgot to bring the pistol.
Well, that's all right with me. I learned something about saber fencing at college.
Any further orders, senor?
No, just leave your cab right where it is and then go for a walk along the beach.
Si, senor.
I had to get rid of him so you could set up the camera. Open that window, Dick.
There. That ought to be enough. I can set the camera right here in the ledge.
Oh, hold it, Dick. Here comes Don Carlos. Put it behind you.
Do you think he saw it?
Yeah. I see you were braver than I thought you were. It was very foolish of you to come, Senor William. I will make jelly out of you.
You're too modest, Don Carlos. Yesterday you were going to fill me full of lead. Today it's jelly. It's just a lot of bluff to bolster up your own courage.
That! It is you who needs bolstering on. I have killed 14 men on the field of honor. Why should I be frightened of you?
You'll find out. I'll give you a saber lesson you'll never forget.
But our duel is with pistols. Did you not hear the terms in front of the city hall?
Well, what are you doing with that sword, then?
This is for my second duel. At 9 o'clock, I shall dispose of Senor Williams with a well-directed bullet. And then at 10 o'clock, I shall kill my political enemy with his saber. Don Carlos could fight 100 duels in one day with pleasure.
Look, Ace, there's that lady in the carriage. She's stopping on a beach.
That is Senora Matma. She shall become a widow at 10:05 this morning.
Then your second duel is to be with her husband?
Si, senor. And with his saber, I shall finish him off quickly.
Well, how would you like to fight the first duel with sabers, too?
No, senor William. Our duel is with pistol. Are you afraid of my marksmanship?
I wouldn't be afraid of you if you had a machine gun.
Well, then, what are you waiting for? The master at arms is growing impatient. Look, he stands already with the weapon. Come with me and he will explain the rules to you.
You know what to do, Dick.
Yes, Ace.
Now, don't forget to grind away no matter what happens.
I will, Ace. Good luck.
All right.
Let me see now. We're about 25 feet away. There. I'm all set now.
Pardon me, young Americano, but may I come into your taxi cab?
Oh, go away, lady. I'm busy.
So I see. You are going to photograph the duel?
Hey, who said you could come in here? Can't you see I'm a newsreel man?
I can see you are very excited. Perhaps you are worried over the safety of your friend.
Why shouldn't I be? He's my pal.
If he follows my instructions, he will not be harmed.
Then what you said about the blank is true?
Si, senor. You see, my own husband is afraid to meet Don Carlos in his saber duel. My husband is not brave like Senor William. He is a coward. But to save his honor, I arranged the pistol so Don Carlos will be killed by your friend. Then I will not have to hide my face in shame for the cowardice of my husband.
If they shoot Don Carlos, then your husband will come around just like he's ready for the saber duel?
That is my plan exactly, senor.
But that's not giving Don Carlos a fair chance.
Senor, you are very young. Don Carlos has won all his pistol duels by the same trick. Every man he ever fought was given a weapon loaded with a blank. Only today, it is Don Carlos Domingo's turn to defend himself with a blank cartridge.
Well, what if Don Carlos gets the gun loaded with a real bullet?
That shall not happen if your friend follows my instructions. Look, the master at arms has finished the duello. They are about to begin.
I'm going to start this camera.
There is something wrong. Don Carlos is choosing his weapon first. That is against the laws of dueling. The challenger should choose last.
Maybe I ought to run out there and tell Ace to look at his gun.
It is too late, senor. They are already back to back.
Oh, now they're pacing off. 2, 3, 4.
If I were only sure.
6, 7, 8.
I cannot look.
10. Wow!
What happened, senor?
Ace shot the gun right out of his hand. Don Carlos is running away.
I must leave you now.
I got the pictures, Ace. I got the pictures.
Good work, Dick. Good work. I'm coming. Well, did I scare off your lady friend?
Well, that was the lady we met in the carriage. Oh, boy, Ace, was that some shot? You knocked the gun right out of Don Carlos' hand.
Well, to tell the truth, Dick, I was aiming at his feet. Say, look out there in the water, at the end of that long pier.
Why, it's that speedboat with a purple flag.
The same one that shot at us when we were on the Parson Jot.
Look, Ace, there's someone on deck winding a rope. They're getting ready to cast off.
All right, come on, Dick. We'll run for it. Maybe we can get there in time to stop them.
Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with the adventures of Ace Williams from 1938 in Carolyn Day Detective. We also enjoyed Merle Travis and Steel Guitar Rag from 1947. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.